God. Well, I'm not going to take no time up. I want a brother Andrew to come and bring whatever the Lord has laid upon his heart. I want him to take his liberty, just preach whatever God's led him. And the Lord bless each one who came out tonight. We give a special welcome to Brother Dan from England and Sister Samantha. The Lord bless you and your wife, brother, and the whole family. God bless you. It's good to have you with us. And also good to see everyone here tonight. Praise God. Still a few missing, but the Lord bless those that's here. You come, brother, and preach whatever the Lord bless you. Bless you. God bless you, brother.
Praise God. God bless you. Good evening, everyone. Good to be with you. It's a good turnout tonight. Is there a revival going on? I don't know.
Starting the night, brothers.
Praise the Lord. Well, I know one thing. You certainly haven't turned out in this weather to come and see me. So something's got to be drawing you. I believe that's the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So it's just good to be in Ireland again. It's not so long ago since I was here last, but it's always a blessing and a privilege to come over here to have fellowship with you all, and I always really enjoy it. It's good to be with brothers and sisters of like precious faith and the rapport, and it's just, you know, it's good to be with Christians and people that just love the Lord. And I just enjoy that kind of fellowship. I don't like being with religious people. I like being with Christians.
Amen.
People that sins, that know their sins are forgiven and just have such a love in their heart for the Lord. And so I think that's just a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. And we just trust that over these couple of days that the Lord will just have his way.
Amen.
And you just be glorified and maybe speak to your hearts and just meet your needs. I know that. Amen. I can't meet your needs. Brother Tommy can't meet your needs, or any other minister or preacher could meet your needs, but it has to come from him. And it's been said many times, if we just get ourselves out of the way. You know, Brother Ransom, a gift is to get yourself out of the way.
Amen.
And I believe it is a gift. Because, you know, humanly speaking, it would be impossible to do that. So I just pray that we could just be able to... You know, the Pentecostals used to say, just let go and let God. It was a famous saying amongst the Pentecostals. And I guess it's easier said than done, but I pray God just... teach me or help me just be able to do that. Let go and let God and just have his way tonight. Praise God. I guess while you're standing, we could bow our heads for a word of prayer before we turn to the scriptures and share something from the word of God. If you have a need tonight, and I'm sure that you do, maybe something on your heart, would you maybe raise your hands to the Lord tonight and ask that God would look upon the heart. I know sometimes we do that, but we're not doing that just for formality. We're doing that because we're sincere and we mean it tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we appreciate the time to be here tonight in this place, Lord, that has been set aside, Lord, for your service tonight, Lord, for your people to gather, Lord, to share this precious word, to speak about you, Father. And Lord, as we come tonight, we come, Lord, knowing that in ourselves we can do nothing, Lord. We are nothing, Father, but we turn to the one tonight that's everything. And we pray that, God, you just come on the scene.
Jesus.
Lord, do something tonight which even... it is not premeditated or pre-planned, Father, but God, you know the hearts of every one of your children tonight. I pray that, God, that the hand of the Master will reach down to the hearts, the minds, and the bodies of thy people tonight. Bring healing, bring deliverance, Lord. Bring whatever is needed for the hearts of for your people tonight, Lord. Would you do it, Lord? God, we pray in Jesus' name. We're a needy people. Lord, we have our hands lifted tonight, Father, because, Lord, we are a needy people.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray that as these hands are before you tonight, would you grant it?
Yes,
Jesus.
Would you give us the requests, the desires of our heart tonight? And that, Father, we could come, Lord, to the house of God and testify that, Lord, I had a need, and Jesus met that need. But Lord, you love to hear the testimonies of your people. I'm not here, Lord, looking for testimonies about myself or the service. I'm looking, Lord, for your people to have testimonies about what you've done for your people, Father, tonight. Oh God, would you grant it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, tonight, pray as we turn to the Word of God and speak from it. Lord, would you help tonight? Lord, would you just give quickening, Lord, and utterance, Lord, and put the thoughts in the mind and heart which need to be spoken tonight. Lord, we commit these things to you in the precious name of Jesus, Lord. And Lord, don't let us be forgetful to give you all the glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. 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 Praise be to God. Well, while we're standing, shall we just turn to our Bibles tonight? I've got a couple of places I want to read tonight. I was going to preach just from one place, but I just felt the Lord was kept bringing me to this scripture. It's found in the book of Jonah. And we're going to go to the New Testament. I was going to just preach from the New Testament, but I just felt the Lord drawing my attention to this, and I just didn't seem to be able to get away from it. So maybe it would be a help tonight, or the Lord might want to be saying something to us. Praise the Lord. The book of Jonah, beginning at chapter 3. And we'll read a couple of verses. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh, that by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, and let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away his fierce anger, and that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and did it not." The Lord bless his word. Please take your seat tonight, friends. Praise the Lord. You know, I was looking at that and thinking on that, and the Lord just seemed to bring to me the thought from that second verse there. And I'd like to use that for a title tonight, and I don't know how this is going to go. Like I say, I didn't really, I just felt the Lord put this on my heart. I didn't really jot any many thoughts or notes down about it, so I really don't know how it's going to come out, but I just leave that in his hands. Praise the Lord. But I want to preach tonight on the preaching that I bid thee. Remember, God said to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach. But he didn't just want him to preach. He said, I want you to preach the preaching that I bid you. I don't just want you to go and preach anything, Jonah. I don't want you to go and preach about your system or the Jews or anything else. I want you to go and preach the preaching that I'm putting on you to preach. And it's interesting, it tells us there that the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Now there's only, as far as I can see, there's only two reasons why the word of the Lord would come to a man the second time. Amen. And that really is the fact that, well, there can be two reasons. The firstly is that we do as Jonah did, we seek to run from that word or from that commission. We seek to get away from doing what God has clearly commanded us to do. You see, God didn't make it complicated for Jonah. It wasn't no great thing that he had to try and figure out in his mind. It was quite simple. God, and I believe that God ever speaks to a heart or speaks to a person, he makes it simple. I made a statement once, and I stand by it. You know, it's amazing that when, before the fall, God was speaking to Adam there in the garden and told him that of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that's in the midst of the garden, you don't eat of that, you don't touch that tree. Well, I've always said that if God made that so simple for man in his unfallen state, see, before Adam even fell, God just gave Adam a simple commandment. It wasn't complicated, it wasn't difficult, it wasn't complex. We could even understand that in our fallen state. But here was God speaking to a man in his unfallen condition and telling him quite simply, don't touch that tree. Well, if he made it so simple for Adam in his unfallen condition, how much simpler is he going to make it for you and me after the fall? How much easier is he going to, how much clearer is he going to make it for you and me to be able to understand what he wants us to do? That's why I believe the gospel is simple and very, very clear. And I think that when it starts to tax the minds of the people, and you know, you're sitting there trying to think out, I wonder what the guy's talking about, I wonder what he's meaning there. I don't really believe that could be from God. I believe the gospel, the word of God, the message of God to you and me is going to be simple, it is going to be clear, and it is going to be plain. He's not a God of complication. He's not a God that it takes a rocket scientist to figure things out. He's not a God that, oh, we need to go to a certain man so that they can interpret the word of God to us. Oh no, God gave us the Holy Ghost. Now God can speak through men, but remember, you have the teacher. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive the teacher.
Amen.
The preacher's not the teacher. He can teach, the preacher can preach, but the Holy Ghost is the one that takes what is being taught and what is being preached, and in you to be able to understand that. You know, people come along and say, well, if Brother so-and-so said it, I believe it. There's nowhere in the Word of God that we are told to have blind faith. God doesn't run his kingdom like that. Anything that God says is solidly based in his word.
Amen.
And you can go to that word of God and see it there. You don't have to take anybody's word for it. As a child of God, as a son of God, as a daughter of God, you can go to the word of God and God can show you. And there might be things you might not be able to see and say, well, Lord, I don't see it. But if you pray and you're sincere with God, I believe that the Holy Spirit will come along and make those things plain to you and clear to you, as he wants you to know those things. Man isn't our teacher, the Holy Ghost is our teacher.
Amen.
Man isn't our leader, the Holy Ghost is our teacher. That's the great lesson to me of the church age. When I look at those things, all I see is the message that God is trying to get to his people and get to his church, that he sent his Spirit to lead his church.
Amen.
He sent his Spirit to control his church.
Right.
It doesn't mean, if man's got to control the church is in a real poor condition. It's the job of the Holy Ghost to do that. Praise the Lord. And if he's given that preeminence, if he's allowed to do that, he will do it. It's a sad thing to think many times he's pushed out. But that's the day we're living in. The Bible tells us of Laodicea, it's the age that has put Christ on the outside. Now I know we want to apply that to everybody else but ourselves, but the fact of the matter is, that is the condition of the age. And you see, it's such a poor condition, but God has got individuals there that are going to that he'll speak to by his Holy Spirit, if we'll allow him to do it. If we'll open our heart to receive what the Spirit's saying to the church. The Bible said, if any man hears my voice and opens the door,
you know,
I'll come in and sup with him. There will be a personal communion. That's the only age that promised that. Personal communion, personal fellowship, praise the Lord. And that's for each one of us. I don't believe it's unobtainable. I don't believe it's in a place that it's unreachable. We can never get there. I believe it's accessible and that we can get to that place if we will come God's provided way.
Amen.
You know, we don't have to make these things complicated. Praise the Lord. But the first thing that the word would come a second time to Jonah was the fact that he was deliberately disobedient. Well, the second reason, as I can see, that the word of the Lord has to come a second time is that we didn't understand it the first time. You know, maybe man has done with it, or man has taken a word of God and he's put his own ideas to it. He's put his own interpretations to it. He's put his own thoughts on it. And what was a pure word from God, a pure message from God, has become complicated. Now, God never did that. Man did that.
Right.
God never made the mess. Man came along and made the mess. He came and put his own interpretation on the word of God. That's what Jesus accused the Pharisees of doing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you've made the word of God of no effect.
Amen.
He didn't say it wasn't the word of God. He said, it is the word of God. He said, but the problem is you've made the word of God of none effect.
Right.
So it is possible to make the word of God of none effect.
Amen.
It is possible to come along and take God's word and overlay it with our thoughts, our own ideas, our own wisdom then, and to make the word of God of no effect. And as I say, that's possibly why the word of the Lord has to come the second time, because really, you didn't understand it the first time, so God has to bring us right back around up to a place. We know the story with Jonah, how he went through that journey and so forth, but God brought him back to where, just where he wanted him there, and he brought the word of the Lord the second time.
Amen.
Now notice, the word that came to Jonah the second time was the same as the word that came the first time.
Yes.
I mean, God didn't say, I know, Jonah, I can understand, maybe you don't want to do it that way. Let me tell you, let me just pat it down a little bit for you. Let me make it more acceptable for you, a little bit more comfortable, Jonah, so you'll go and take my word. You see, God didn't change, he changed Jonah.
Amen.
God's not going to change, he's going to change you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. God wasn't going to say, now wait a minute, Jonah, I'm going to change so that you can take my word. He said, he took Jonah on a journey and brought him to a place where he changed Jonah.
Yes.
To come to the place that he could go and take the word he should have took in the first place.
Amen.
I believe, you know, the Bible tells us there that Jonah, after hearing that commission from God to go down to Nineveh, the Bible tells us he rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. You know, it's an interesting thing that when you go from the word of the Lord, you leave the presence of the Lord. When you move away from the word, this is why Satan seeks to pervert the word of God.
Right.
This is why Satan comes along and seems to twist the word of God. Because if he knows he can twist or pervert the word of God, he can get you out of the presence of God. But when you come to the word of God and the purity of the word of God, you are coming into the presence of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's why when we come back to the preaching of the gospel,
amen,
we are coming into the presence of God.
Amen.
That's when the cross is preached, you are coming into the presence of God.
Right.
That's when the blood of Jesus is preached, you
amen
are coming into the presence of God. Hallelujah. So Satan wants to pervert that. He wants to dilute it. He wants to add to it. He wants to tell you, oh, there's something more to it. Because he wants to take you out of the presence of God. But God, through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ,
amen,
is trying to bring you into the presence of God.
Amen.
The Bible said the preaching of the cross, hallelujah,
amen,
is the power of God.
Amen.
So when you're preaching the power, when you're preaching the cross,
yes,
you say, where's the power of God? It has to be.
Amen.
The power of God's there.
Amen.
Because the word of God says the preaching of the cross is the power of God.
Right.
So if you're preaching the cross, you are preaching you cannot preach the cross and the power of God not be present.
Right.
It's impossible. I made a statement just the other day that I don't believe you can preach about the blood of Jesus and it not have effect.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't believe you can name the name of Jesus.
Yes. Right.
And not have effect.
Amen.
Now you might not see it, you might not feel it, but there's a host that does, hallelujah.
Amen.
There's a power that does, hallelujah. You cannot mention that name.
Amen.
You cannot declare that name without something taking place. But it must be the preaching that I bid thee.
Yes, right. Amen.
Hallelujah. It must be the preaching that God decrees to be preached. Anything outside of that is a powerless gospel. There's no power in it. And notice also, as Jonah moved out of the presence of the Lord, ran from the word of the Lord, ran from the presence of the Lord, notice the presence of the Lord, hallelujah, is in the preaching that God bids us preach.
Amen.
The presence of God is in the preaching that he bids us preach. What if Jonah went down there with some other message? He had to preach what God said preach.
Amen.
Now the church today has been given clear directions, a clear commandment, clear leadership on what God wants the church to preach. Now it's a sad thing to think about it, but most of the time we preach anything but that. You see, but when we come back to the preaching that he bids us preach, hallelujah.
Amen.
When we come back to the preaching that he bids his church to preach, praise God, something's got to happen. Something's got to take place, but God sometimes has to take us on a journey. I believe these last 30, 40 years or so, God has taken many of his people on a journey. But you're going to find out you're going to come back to the very same place you should have been in the beginning.
Amen.
You're going to find out that it's not going to have changed any. You're going to have changed. God's not going to have changed.
Amen.
Your ideas will change. His word won't change.
Amen.
Your thoughts will change. His message won't change.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Praise the Lord. But God might take you on a journey to bring you to that very place.
Yes.
It's an amazing thing to think, you know, on the wilderness journey. When those people rejected that. Seen all the great signs, seen the wonders, seen the miracles, seen the powers of God. God said, that's it, I'm done with you. You're going to wander in that desert for 40 years. Notice, he also said, your children, your young ones, they're going to wander with you. In other words, they are going to live with the results of your unbelief. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to bear the burden of your sin. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to put up with it. When the time comes, they'll be the ones that are going in. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. But for 40 years, they're going to have to live with... You see, unbelief's a terrible thing. Unbelief, the effects of unbelief is an awful thing. It didn't just affect them, it affected their children. It affected that whole generation there. And God said, you're going to wander around in that desert until you die off. Your children are going to have to bear your sin. But they weren't guilty of that. He said, they're going to have to live with that. He said, but when the time comes, they'll be the ones that go in. And notice when the time came after 40 years of journeying around that desert. But notice after God had said that, the very next thing he said to Moses, after telling them you're going to wander 40 years, he said, now Moses, in Numbers 15, the very next thing God says to him is, Moses, he speaks about coming into the land. In other words, what God's saying to Moses is, after 40 years of wandering, you're going to come back to this place. And that message is still going to be the same. That word is still going to be the same. It's not going to change one iota. There's going to be nothing added to it. There's going to be nothing taken from it. It's not going to be improved on. It's not going to be adapted to the day. I know it will be 40 years later and maybe things have changed and people have changed. But that message, that word is going to be exactly the same word as you're listening to now. But what I'm going to bring you to that place, but that's, you're going to have to come back to this place, back to this word. And that's the word you're going in under. You see, but that word's not going to change. God's going to change you, he'll change me, but his word won't change. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I believe God's been dealing with his people today to bring us to a place, to bring us to that position whereby he's not changed one speck.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's we that changed.
Right.
It's you and me that's changing. God's bringing his people to that place. Hallelujah. Why? That we can preach the preaching that he bids us. We can declare the message that he initially intended for you and me to declare. Not some perversion of it, not something added onto it, not some self-interpretation of it, but the preaching, hallelujah, that I bid you preach, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And it's a sad thing to think that the church has moved so far from that. Got away so far from that. But you see, God's going to have a people and he's going to bring right back to this very place. Maybe the word of the Lord is going to have to come to you and me the second time. Hallelujah. But it'll be the same word.
Amen.
It'll be the same word that came to you the first time.
Amen.
It won't have changed. It'll be the same word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So God commissions Jonah, to go and bid the preaching that I bid you to preach. Go and do it, Jonah. Hallelujah. It's not going to change. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Now I want you to go with me now over to the book of Acts. As we look at that for a little bit of a foundation there. Notice something. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Let's begin. I want to read some verses here. Let's begin at verse 23. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. This is where I was going to preach just on its own tonight, but I felt to just go to the book of Jonah and lay that as a little bit of a foundation tonight. Do you understand what I mean? It's got to be the preaching that he bids.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now he's not going to change. You're going to change. We'll be the ones that change, not God. Hallelujah. Our ideas, our perceptions, our understanding. See, what we many times call revelation isn't revelation. It's just our human understanding of something. Because spiritual revelation... Let me say something. Let me go on record as saying this. Spiritual revelation will produce something.
Amen.
It cannot... When something is spiritually revealed, it produces something. Now, you can intellectually learn something, and it won't produce anything. But when something is spiritually revealed to a heart, something is going to happen. And I believe a lot of what we call revelation today is nothing more than human understanding. Human intellect. I hope I don't hurt feelings tonight, but I really believe that sometimes we just get a human understanding of things and we call it revelation. And it's not revelation, it's just our ideas. It's just our thoughts. Praise the Lord, amen. But notice something. Now this is the prayer of the early church. Hallelujah. This is the prayer of the early church. Now notice, just a few days or not so very long after Pentecost, there had been a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And yet the disciples got together. There'd been a persecution there. There'd been a great miracle there. And of course, when there's a miracle, you can be certain the devil's going to raise himself up. When there's a manifestation of the supernatural power of God, there's going to be a manifestation of evil. When every revival that's ever been, there's always been a massive manifestation of demonic power. Satan don't mind how much religion we've got, how much understanding we've got, but let there be a move of the Holy Ghost. Let there be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And if you didn't know there was a devil before, you certainly don't know there's a devil then. But notice something. Here's the church. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported that all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers gathered themselves together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. It's amazing, isn't it, that no matter what happens, it's all in the hand of God.
Amen.
Praise God. Verse 29, and now, notice, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Think about that. Just not so long after Pentecost.
Amen.
Brother, how much more do you and me need a filling of the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
How much do you and me today need a good stirring of the Holy Ghost? Praise the
Amen.
Lord. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Notice there had just been a great miracle there. And then there became a persecution there. How about the Pharisees? But what were they persecuted for? Why were the apostles and the church persecuted? They were persecuted for preaching a message. And that message was the resurrection. The Bible says those religious leaders were grieved that they preached through Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That they preached and taught through Jesus the resurrection of the dead.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The church has only got one message.
Amen.
The church has only ever had one message. And that is that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
Amen.
Everything else is to come is to bring you back into line, to bring you back into subjection, that the church can declare that message. She doesn't have another message. She's only got one message. And that message has never ever changed. Now we know the conditions of the church haven't got to such a bad place that God had to bring, during those dark ages, he brought a resurrection. How she came through justification, sanctification, restoration of the gifts. And we come into this day. Why? So that she can preach the message.
Amen.
So that she can declare that message.
Amen.
And that message is the same message that these people over here, back in Jerusalem, 2,000 years ago, were declaring that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Notice. Now look at the prayer. Why did they pray this prayer? Notice what they prayed. Now, why were they praying for signs and wonders? Why were they praying for miracles? Peter and those disciples there weren't praying, Lord, I want you to come down to vindicate my ministry. I want you to come and vindicate that we're right and everybody else is wrong. I want you to come and vindicate our system or our group that we've got the right ideas and everybody else has got the wrong ideas. They were praying. Notice they were praying. They had one desire and one prayer. And that desire tells us in verse 29 that we may speak thy word with boldness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The only desire of that church. The only desire of that church. Was that they could speak the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What word? What word? That Christ is risen from the dead.
Amen. Amen.
Now, how are you going to know he's risen from the dead? The only way you're going to know he's risen from the dead is by the works he does.
Yes.
Jesus said, if I don't do the works, you don't have to believe me.
Mm-hmm.
The works I do, he told them, bear witness of me.
Yep.
That's why they were praying for signs and wonders. Amen. They weren't praying for signs and wonders to vindicate their movement or themselves. They were praying that God would stretch forth his hand. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That the word of God. For this message we've got. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
They said we've got a message. We've got a word. We've got a word to declare. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And that is that Christ.
Yes.
This one you nailed to a tree.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
This one you rejected.
Yeah.
is risen from the dead. But the only way you're going to know it is through signs and wonders. It's through the miracles and powers of God. They're going to bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, Peter didn't go around with a mass of scriptures and quotes there trying to convince the people. He said, Lord, you've got to stretch forth your hand.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord, you've got to send your power.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because the only way man's going to know that you've risen from the dead is that signs and wonders are done in the name of thy holy child Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Blessed. Praise be to God. See, because if there's no evidence, they don't have a message. The message of the church is that Christ is risen from the dead. Don't you see why Satan has to muck everything up? Don't you see today why Satan has to pervert the word of God? Why? To get you away from the preaching that God bids preach.
Yes.
Because the only message the church has got to preach about is that Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. It doesn't have another message. It doesn't have another message. The only message the church has ever had and should ever have is that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Sorry, Tommy, if I'm not there. Excuse me. See, if there's no evidence, they don't have a message. They've got a claim. They have a claim. And this day is a day of great claims. This is a day of great claims. Well, there ain't much substance to it. This is a day of,
right.
We've got this and we've got that.
Mm-hmm.
All the church claims to be rich and increased with goods.
Yes.
But it's an empty boast. It's an empty boast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it began that way in the garden there. It began with a woman, she types the church, Eve being a type of the church, making a claim. Claimed to have something from God, which wasn't. It's finishing the same way. It began with an empty boast. It's finishing with an empty boast. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. A message that's not vindicated is just a claim. But a claim, when it's vindicated, is a message. Praise the Lord. A claim when it's vindicated, that's a message. Hallelujah. A claim when God comes behind it and backs it up, that's a message. Hallelujah. Or we can sit there and talk about the Holy Ghost and say praise be to God, but when God ever seals you into the kingdom of God through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's a message.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You can talk about it, but when God ever comes down and seals you and does that work, that's a message.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. A claim vindicated is a message. That's your question. What identified who Jesus Christ was? Why were those disciples praying that prayer? Because that was a very vindication of who he was. And they're going around telling people, look, Jesus has risen from the dead. What was Paul persecuted for? But this Jesus, remember that wrote, was it Felix said? Of one Paul there that who was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive.
Amen.
That was the problem.
Amen.
That was the issue in the early church.
That's right.
He said, oh, we got one guy there going around talking about one Jesus who's dead, whom Paul, hallelujah, claims to be alive.
That's right.
That's the message of the church.
Yes.
That's the message she's given to proclaim. That's the message she's given to declare. The one Jesus that was dead, hallelujah,
amen,
is alive.
Glory.
Glory.
Praise the Lord. Oh, God, I like to get back to the gospel.
Amen.
I like to get back to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes.
That he rose from the dead, hallelujah.
Yes.
Blessed be the name,
amen,
of the Lord.
Glory.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why the church suffered persecution. That's why the church went through those terrible times of persecution. Because they witnessed. How did Brother Branham identify those messengers through the church ages? Because they identified the Pentecostal flame.
Amen. That's right.
And Pentecost is the resurrection of Jesus. Pentecost was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Right.
Now we see perversions and all kinds of crazy stuff. But nevertheless, Pentecost is a manifestation, a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They didn't have to go around trying to convince people. They declared and displayed the works of that one that was dead, was risen. Hallelujah. And if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, It's going to quicken you unlock a body.
Amen.
Back to this. Back to the gospel. Back to the preaching that God needs his church to preach. Not what some system wants you to preach or some movement wants you to preach, but the preaching that God commands his church to preach.
Amen.
That Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. What identified Jesus Christ? His works.
Yes.
Notice John coming with that anointing on, with the spirit and power of Elijah, was given a commission, was given a commandment, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit of God descending. Not just descending now, but remaining. Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit of God descending. Well, the Spirit descended on Caiaphas. The Spirit came on Judas. Didn't remain. Right. But on whom thou shalt see the Spirit of God descending and remaining.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
He's the one that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. John wasn't looking for anything. Now, God didn't say, John, I want you to go and look for the best scribe there is. I want you to go and look for the best teacher there is in Israel that can take the Old Testament scriptures, the Old Testament words in there, put it all together and just identify the Messiah. That never did identify who Jesus was. God said, John, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit of God descending and remaining, he's the one that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Remember Elijah in the Old Testament there. Praise the Lord. The God that answers by fire.
Amen.
See, the job of a prophet is to identify God. That's the ministry of a prophet, is they identify God. Elijah in the Old Testament said, you know what, God's above us, and the God that answers by fire, he's God. Elijah didn't sit there trying to work it out and explain it, trying to break it down to the people. He said, we won't argue about it, we won't fuss about it, we won't debate it, we won't get into some theological discussion. He said, here it is, you dig a trench. He said, you call on your God, and afterwards I'll call on my God, and the God that answers by fire. He's God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You see, God dwelt above us in that pillar of fire. Mm-hmm. But one day, hallelujah, the Word was made flesh and dwelled amongst us. Oh, hallelujah. That's why John didn't do any miracles. He didn't have to. It was right there. He said, well, there he is. Because he saw that Spirit of God descending and remaining on him. That was going to be the evidence. That was going to be the witness there. Hallelujah. That Jesus was who he said he was.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. It was quite simple with Jesus. We make it complicated, but Jesus said, look, he said, I don't know the works of my Father, don't believe me. He said, but if I do, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise be to God. You know, John got to a place where he got full of unbelief. He's just like you and me. He got into a place of despondency, a place of depression, a place of fear. You get in that same place, I get in that same place, hallelujah. But Jesus Christ don't. He's the unchanging God. He's not affected by the weather. Hallelujah. I mean, we've come tonight, it's raining. We might be all, the weather's awful. He's the same when it's sunny. He's the same when it's raining. He's the same when you're good. He's the same when you're bad. He's the same when you're up. He's the same when you're down. Hallelujah. He don't change. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can backslide a million times, but he remains the same. Hallelujah. You can fail him a million times, but Jesus remains the same.
Hallelujah.
We can get better ideas. He can't. We can improve. He won't. Hallelujah. We can get better. He won't. Blessed be the name. We can learn more. He don't. Praise the Lord. He's the all in all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, it's good to be able to go to that one, isn't it?
That's right.
When you're despondent, when you're cast down, when you're full of fear, when you're full of unbelief. But hallelujah, you're going to one that doesn't change.
Amen.
You're going to one that's not, just a minute, I can't answer you now, I'm dealing with something else. You're going to one that's going to meet your need whenever you go to him. You're praying to one that he's not incapacitated by anything. Hallelujah. You're praying to one that is more than able. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. John got to a place, he said, look, I'll send some of his disciples. He said, I want you to go and ask him, is he the one? Do we need to look for another? You know, a lot of people today are looking for another.
Right.
They're looking for something else.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they never looked at him in the first place.
Right.
Notice Jesus, he said, now look. Now look, he never said, now wait a minute. I'm going to write you a bunch of quotes out so you can take Johnny can read them in prison. I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures. Now, he could have done that. He could have taken many scriptures there concerning who Jesus was from the Old Testament all the way through to show who Jesus was, but he never did that. He never did that. He said, I want you to go and tell John.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory.
I want you to go and preach the preaching I want you.
Amen.
I want you to go and preach what I'm telling you to go and preach.
Yes.
Glory.
Amen.
He said, the dead see. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. And the poor are from the gospel preached to them.
Amen.
In other words, John, you know that scripture you saw come on me?
Uh-huh.
John, you remember that time when you were down there on the Jordan there, and I came walking out there, and you saw that spirit like a dove come down upon me? Well, it's still here, John.
Glory.
How do you know, Lord? Well, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the lepers are being cleansed.
Amen.
The demons are being cast out. Hallelujah, it's still here, John.
Amen.
And didn't that voice tell you, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit of God descending and remaining?
Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's always been the true church of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been the true church of, down through those church ages we come. But if that same spirit that was on John comes in this last days, what's it going to do? If that same spirit identified Christ by what? Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit of God. It didn't identify him by doctrine. It did not identify him by some new revelation or some new mystery. It identified by upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit of God descending and remaining. Well, if it did it back then, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, it's got to do it the same way today, amen?
Amen.
It's got to do the same thing today. Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit of God descending and remaining, that's the church of Jesus Christ. That's why when Brother Branham preached those church ages there, he identified the true church by the works it did. By the things that Jesus Christ living in the church. Why? Because that's the message of the church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That message is that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
Yes.
Blessed be. Oh, we got away from it. The devil played a trick on us. Oh, you say the devil didn't play a trick on me. Well, what about those Galatians?
Yes.
Paul wrote to them. He said, oh, you Galatians, who's bewitched you?
Yes.
Well, that wouldn't happen to me. Were they spirit filled? They sure were. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And yet Paul could write to them and say, well, who's bewitched you?
Amen.
Who's played a trick on you?
Amen.
Or we get to a place where it can never happen to us.
Yes.
Don't be so sure, friend.
Amen.
We get to a place where we become arrogant.
That's right.
Oh, I heard this ridiculous expression. Oh, we're a revelated people. Well, that's nonsense. It's crazy stuff. The only thing that's going to keep you today is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.
The only thing today is going to keep is the same thing that kept them, the power of God. The Bible says we're kept by the what? The power of God.
Amen.
Took the power of God to keep them back there. It's going to take the power of God to keep you today.
Amen.
If it takes the power of God to keep you there, it's going to take the power of God to keep you. Your own mind's not going to keep you. People's minds are breaking up today. Christians today, their minds are breaking up. Christians today, their minds are just falling to pieces. Why? Because they're relying on their understanding and not the spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Revealed to your heart. Hallelujah. I don't care whether you can explain it or understand it. It's God living in your heart. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That's what identified who Jesus Christ was. All through those church ages, it has always identified who Jesus Christ is. Why? Because that is the message. That's why we can speak the word of God. The only message we've got to speak is that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. How do you know? Because that one that opened the eyes of the blind, that old one that stuck the deaf ears, that one that made the lame to walk, that cast out the demons, that raised the dead, that did all those great miracles, is living in his church today.
Amen.
But how can we speak the word of God with boldness when we get away from that? All we've got is a claim. We haven't got a message, we've got a claim. You know, Jesus stood at the grave of Lazarus. When Mary met him, oh Lord, if you hadn't been here, if you'd just been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus said to her, Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though we were dead, yet shall live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Praise be to God. Oh, I know that, Lord. Now that's a great claim. That's a great claim. But that's what it is, it's a claim. But when he stood at the grave of Lazarus and called a man out of the grave, they'd been there 4 days. That's not a claim anymore, that's a message. Glory.
That's not a claim, that's a message. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now he made some great claims, but hallelujah, he backs every one of them up.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
Be to God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Proved he was the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
Moses went down to Egypt. He said, you know what, I met God in a burning bush. God told me to come down here and deliver his people. That's a great claim. But when he did the miracles, the signs, the wonders, and the powers of God came down into those great works. That's a message. That ain't a claim anymore. That's a message. Hallelujah. Elijah there, we just spoke about him on that Mount Carmel there. Said the God that answers by fire, let him be God. That's a tremendous claim. But when that fire fell, that's not a claim anymore. That's a message. Hallelujah. That's a message. That's the message the church is called to preach.
Amen.
I'm spilling water everywhere here. But jumping around a lot. Excuse me. Praise the Lord. Noah had a great claim. He said, it's going to rain.
Mm-hmm.
Started to build a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And for 120 years, that was what he had. It was a claim. But when that water started to come, and that boat started to rise, that's not a claim anymore. That's a message.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Bible claims that if you repent and baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's a great claim. But when a man or a woman truly repents for their sins, turn from their sins, ask God to forgive them, and God comes down and fills them with the Holy Ghost, they don't have a claim anymore, they've got a message.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's not a claim anymore, friends, that's a message.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's not just some intellectual conception, though I believe it. No. When that fire falls, that's not a claim anymore, that's a message.
Amen.
That's what the church needs, friends. It doesn't need a claim, it needs a message.
Amen.
But you can't have a message until God comes down and vindicates that. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, God, help us.
Amen.
The preaching that I did. That's why today look what we've done with the Holy Ghost. Look what we've done with the Spirit of God. We made it nothing more than an intellectual conception. We made it more than an intellectual understanding. We made it more than just human belief. But it has to be the faith that Jesus Christ gives. It has to be the power that comes from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, praise be to God. God help us. Hallelujah. The preaching that I bid thee.
Amen.
The preaching that I bid thee. John, I want you to go down there and preach just what I'm telling you to preach. That's his message to the... When Jesus told his disciples, I want you to go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued from power on high. Because I want you to go and preach a message. I want you to go and declare a message. You know, when Jesus had been with those on the road to Emmaus there, the Bible said through the Old Testament, through the Scriptures, through the Psalms and so forth, he expounded to them all the things concerning himself. What was he talking about? Quite simply, because if you read at the end of the Gospel of Luke there, it tells you, Jesus, after speaking to them, after appearing to his disciples and quoting the Scriptures and going through the Word of God with them, said, in summation said, thus it's written, and thus it behooved Christ, to suffer,
yes,
to die, and to what? To rise again the third day.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go and tell.
Amen.
Go and preach my message.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That was all those scriptures that Jesus took, was to verify and to vindicate that truth.
Mm-hmm.
That Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. That's why those disciples, when they faced that persecution, went back there and prayed, Lord, you give us the Holy Ghost. You told us to go and preach that message. You told us to go and tell those people that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. But we've been persecuted. The enemy's come against us. The enemy started. They quote that scripture from the book of Psalms chapter 2 there. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They gather together against the Lord and his Christ. Lord, we want you to stretch forth your hand by doing signs and wonders. Why? That we may speak thy word with boldness. Not that we might build some system or start some group or start some movement. That we might speak thy word,
amen,
with boldness. That you have risen from the dead. That you died, you shed your blood. Hallelujah. But you laid in that tomb, and on the third day you rose from the dead, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And that same spirit that was in you is in your people. Hallelujah. Lord, we want you to come down and show those great signs, those great miracles to them. Through the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled. See, God gives the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
God gives the Holy Ghost for one reason. For you to bear witness of his resurrection. God doesn't give the Holy Ghost for a purpose that you can be anything or to try and vindicate you. He gives you the Holy Ghost. He gave me the Holy Ghost to vindicate that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. That's the message. We only have one message. We've only ever had one message.
Amen.
I know people would like to tell us we've got a few more messages, a little bit different now, but you don't change. If that was the message of the early church and we're being taken back to what the early church preached,
yes,
it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But he's not going to come down and vindicate a movement. He's not going to come down and vindicate a man. He's going to come down and vindicate his word. He's going to come down and vindicate his holy child, Jesus Christ. And if we're not preaching his holy child, Jesus Christ, God will keep away from it. When we preach his holy child, when we preach Jesus Christ, when we preach the cross, when we preach the blood, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh God, help us to come back to the simplicity of the gospel.
Amen.
Help us to get away from the crazy stuff. To come, oh God, set our minds. You know, I believe the greatest deliverance that we need today in the church is the healing of the mind. I believe the greatest deliverance we need today in the church is the deliverance of the mind. You know, it's interesting. I'll get my subject a little bit. I'm going to close in a moment. But notice, Paul warned in the last days how the times would be that people would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I read that the other day. The Lord showed me something in that verse I've never seen before, I've never considered before. There's two words in that verse that really stick out to me. And it's the words, giving heed. You know, there have always been seducing. Now, where are all these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils? They're not out there in the world.
No.
These aren't worldly seducing spirits. They're religious seducing spirits.
Right.
Because notice what's happening. The people are moving away from the faith. So this song, they are not out in the world. They're at your nightclubs and all the rest of it. They're right over in the church.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the church. Because the people are departing from the faith. So in other words, these people are around the faith and somehow they're coming under the influence of these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Right.
Oh, it's not going to happen to me. But here's the sad thing. The Bible says that those things have always been there, but the tragedy in these last days is, you know what? People are actually going to give heed to it.
Yes.
They're actually going to listen to those things, thinking they're hearing truth.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually going to hear those spirits there and they're going to, they might shout amen. They might receive it, they might believe it. They're actually going to listen to those things. I believe one of the greatest open doors into the minds of the hearts of God's people today is through false doctrine.
Right.
It's through false teaching. It's one of the biggest open doors there is that Satan uses to get into the minds and the hearts of the people of God. It's a channel which he uses to come through. That's why the early church was so severe on false doctrine.
Yes.
Now, we're not so concerned about it today. If somebody wants to come in and preach crazy stuff, well, it's okay, he's got his opinions, I guess. He's entitled to his opinions. But we don't realise the poison that's behind that.
Yes.
We don't realise the damage that does. You see, it's not just an opinion, it's a spirit.
Yes.
It's not just it's a spirit behind that.
Amen.
And the sad thing is, in these last days, people are actually going to give heed to it.
Yes.
They're going to actually take those things and say, well, is that right? Is that true? That's why we've got all this, and they're going to build all the kinds of stuff we see today. Why? Giving heed, actually listening.
Amen.
Whereas at one time the people of God would have seen and said, that's not right.
Amen.
Kicked it out, but we let the bars down. We let the bars down. You know, Brother Aaron used to quote the song from the Pentecostal, the old Methodist minister, we compromise with sin, we compromise with sin. We let the bars down and the sheep got out, but how did the goats get in?
Amen.
We got away from the leadership of the Holy Ghost. We thought as long as we were intelligent, we could get up there and formulate and give a sermon. That was okay. We thought as long as we were educated enough to get up there and just put a few scriptures together, we could get up there and use a few quotes, get an overhead projector and give a few quotes.
Yes.
It'd be all right. We'd be able to get past with it. We compromised with sin. We opened the door. The sheep got out, but how? You see, sheep aren't going to hang around a dead religion.
Amen.
They're going to be gone. It's going to, but it'll bring the goats in.
Yes.
Spurgeon made a statement once. He said, you know what, it'll come to pass in the last days that instead of shepherds in the pulpits feeding the sheep, you're going to have clowns entertaining the goats.
That's
where it's at. It's a terrible thing to say.
That's right.
Why? Because we let the bars down. We thought intelligence was enough. We thought that if we had a good education there, we could get up and we could preach a sermon. We got away from the Holy Ghost doing the calling. We got away from the Holy Ghost doing the sending and the separating and the anointing and the power.
Right.
Or we could, all the anointing today, or you could be anointed and so forth and still be lost. We've got all the answers for it. We've got all the excuses for it. We can explain it all away.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in trouble, friends. Sure, you can preach Revelation and still be lost. I don't know. It takes the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It took the Holy Ghost to write this Bible. It takes the Holy Ghost to preach this Bible.
Amen.
That's right.
Took the Holy Ghost to send those men. It takes the Holy Ghost to send men today.
Amen.
But we've got all the material at hand. But what about waiting on the Holy Spirit? What about coming before God and saying, Lord, I can't do this. I need your anointing. I need your quickening. I need your power to go and preach that message. To go and preach the message that you, the preaching that you bid. Not the preaching that some church or some movement bids, but the preaching that you bid, Lord, that you've risen from the dead. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes, that's the gospel. That's the message that will be preached. That is the message. That Christ is risen from the dead. It's never changed.
Amen.
Malachi 4:6 is what? Identify, it's telling you where? To the fathers.
That's
right. Well, let me ask you a question. Why would you want to turn somebody back to the fathers? See what those fathers were like. Peter stood there and denied him. Was it James and John wanted to be somebody in the kingdom of God? They wanted to be some big shot. Well, why would you want to be turned back to a bunch of men like that? Why would we want to be taken back to those men? It wasn't those men. It was Christ in those men.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right.
It wasn't William Branham. It was Christ in William Branham.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. He was just identifying a promised word. Exactly that promised word right back there at the beginning. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Oh, you said that's just for a prophet. No, the promise is to you.
Amen.
To your children.
Hallelujah.
As many as the Lord our God shall call. Peter didn't stand up on the day of Pentecost. You know there's 120 in the upper room there. There was 120 in the upper room. I'm sorry, I want to finish. There was 120 in the upper room there. Peter didn't say, you've had your lot. We're just the 120. That's it. That's all it's for. The promise is unto you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To your children.
Yes.
As many as the Lord our God shall call.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, this isn't just for us. It's for everybody. As many as the Lord our God shall call. And what God has identified today wasn't just for William Branham. It's to identify to you and me.
Amen.
But that's the promised word of God. Mm-hmm. For each one of us. We can have it.
Amen.
It's for us.
Amen.
But we've got to come back to the preaching that God bids preach.
Amen.
We've got to come back to God's way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bow our heads, friends. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will take what has been spoken in this evening's service, Lord, and just by the Holy Spirit break them to the hearts of your people. I cannot do that, Lord. I can't even preach a sermon, Lord. Nothing I can do, Lord. I just commit it into your hands. That words which have been spoken tonight may some way, shape or form the Holy Spirit just touch the hearts of your people tonight. I pray tonight, God, that Lord, you'd move down past the mind.
Yes.
Past the intellect, past the understanding, past what we think. Just go down right deep into the heart of your children and touch every heart tonight. I pray, God, that Lord, you just be enthroned in every heart tonight. Lord, we pray for you, Lord. So often we pray for your gifts and your blessings and your supply, your presence, and you're so kind that you come and you do those things for us, Lord. But oh Lord, how many times do we stop and say, Lord, I need you. I need the person of Jesus Christ in my heart tonight. I need you in my heart. I need you to be enthroned in my heart. Oh Lord Jesus, I pray that God would come to each one of us tonight. I pray tonight that God would soften up ground tonight, Lord, that would be open to receive you, Lord. Hearts that would be open, Lord, tender, Lord, to receive you tonight. If I've said anything that would hurt anybody tonight, I want you to pray for forgiveness, Lord. I wouldn't mean to do that, but Lord, I pray that God, that in the name of the Lord Jesus, that Lord, you'd just tenderize every one of us in your presence tonight. Open our hearts to receive you, Lord. Lord, that you just come and take up your dwelling abode, Lord, in us, Lord. Help us to come back to the preaching that you be preach. Help us to come back to what you want us to, Lord, that message that your church should have always been preaching, should have always been proclaiming. Not about a movement, not about a man, not about a ministry. but about one that rose from the dead.
Yes,
Jesus. One that suffered and died, hung on a cross, shed his blood, was laid in a tomb.
Yes.
On the third day he rose from the dead. And you said, because I live, you shall live also.
Amen.
Your word was, go ye therefore into all the world.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, that commission, that commandment has never been rescinded. It's never been taken back. You said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Help us, Lord, in our hearts to repent. Lord, we can do nothing without you, Lord. We can't even repent. We can't even have a burden. We can't. Lord, we're absolutely helpless. We're powerless without you, Lord. Lord, I think of the prophet Jeremiah, Lord, down there in Jerusalem. The whole city had been sacked by the Babylonians, Lord. They led into captivity, ruined the people, butchered and murdered, and oh God, awful things. And yet even at the end of that prophet, Lord, prayed, Lord, turn us, O Lord. Even in that poor condition, he realized that, even in that sunken condition, he realized that it needed you, Lord, to turn the hearts of your people. And Lord, even today I realize and understand, Lord, that it's you that turns us, Lord. We couldn't do it, Lord. We just go on living in our own condition, Lord, our own standards, Lord, our own mess, Lord. But I'm praying tonight, precious Lord, that you'll just come on the scene. That, Lord, you'll turn us all, Lord. May the breath of God, just that breeze, gentle breeze of Jesus, blow upon each of us tonight. Oh, that holy presence of Jesus be amongst us tonight.
Yes.
I pray, God, hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Yes,
oh, Lord, could you do it? Would you do it, Lord?
Jesus.
Would you just tenderize our hearts tonight? Would you melt those hearts and make them real?
Yes.
Lord, would you fill hearts tonight? I pray tonight, if there's anyone struggling and striving and pushing and pressing and so disappointed they're not getting anywhere, Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord, right, they just stop and say, Lord, I don't want to try anymore. I just want to just give it to you, Lord. Lord, I want you to come and do it. I've tried on my own strength and I can't do it. But tonight I'm just stopping. I'm turning aside and saying, Lord, I'm giving it to you.
Yes.
I'm just laying it at your feet. Lord, I want you to help me, Lord. I want you to touch me tonight. Father, I've sought by my own works, by my own effort, Lord, and I've failed. And I continue to fail. But tonight, Lord, with your help, I'm just coming to that cross and saying, Lord, I just want to lay my burden down. I just want to lay this heavy weight down and say, Jesus, lift this burden from me. Jesus, come into my heart. Just come into my heart. Lord, I know it's nothing I could do, but Lord, tonight I'm asking. Lord, I'm asking by your grace, by your mercy, Lord, just to meet me where I'm sick. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help me. Lord, just be merciful, Lord, I pray, to each one of us. Help me, Lord, we pray. Help me, Lord, I pray. Help me to get my just... Lord, your word says, Lord, the heart is deceiving above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? There's no way we can know our own heart, Lord, unless you show us. Lord, there's just no way we could know it unless you stop us and start to show us. Father, you know the heart, Lord. And I pray tonight, God, you'll deal with us, Lord. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll deal with us. I pray that, God, tonight there'll be hearts that are here willing and saying, Lord, I'm willing tonight to be dealt with. I'm willing, Lord, for you to come tonight and start to deal with me. Lord, I want away with this veneer of religion, Lord, this front. And I want you to deal with my heart, Lord. I want you to touch me tonight. Lord, I want you, Lord. I want you and you alone. Lord, I don't want your gifts. I don't want your blessings. I don't want the things that I appreciate them. But it's more serious than that, Lord. I need you tonight. I need the person of Jesus Christ in my heart. Won't you come, Lord Jesus? Won't you just come tonight, Lord, and meet with me? Lord, I pray for your mercy and grace. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me. As I lift my hands to worship and to magnify thy name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, oh, Hallelujah. Just be open to the Spirit tonight, friends. Just be open to the Spirit tonight. It's here. Just lay your hand. Just be honest with God. Just be open tonight.
Lift my hands to worship and to magnify thy name. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Jesus said, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and sup with him.
Yes.
There'd be communion. There'd be fellowship. Any man. He didn't lay any stipulation. He said, if any man hears my voice and any woman hears my voice, I'll come in and sup. He said, there'd be a communion. There'd be a fellowship.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He means what he says, friends. He's a God of his word.
Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me. As I lift my hands to worship and to magnify thy name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Just as he's right here, so Lord, I invite you to come in.
Flow through me.
Let him just do that work in you. Let him come to you tonight.
Flow through me.
I receive you tonight, Lord. I accept you tonight.
Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me. As I lift my hands to worship and to magnify thy name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Hallelujah. I'm going to hand the service back to Brother Tommy, but just keep an attitude of prayer. Just keep reverent now, because that presence is still here. I'm going to let just Brother Tom come, and Brother, you just do what the Lord, you feel the Lord's leading you to do. Amen. God bless you, Brother Tom.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's change our feet, but just let's keep in this attitude. Praise God. We really enjoy the word of the Lord tonight. Praise God. Let's sing that He is Lord, He is Lord, He's risen from the dead. He is Lord. Praise God. You know, that's the truth what we've heard tonight. I often said all the time, but it is true. What's the difference in Buddha and Muhammad and Jesus? Jesus is risen. That's the punch. That's the power. That's the difference in our message than their message. We're serving a risen Savior. A risen Savior is alive. Praise God. Let's sing it, brother. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I feel led just to tell you this. Me and Brother Andrew watched this today, but just keep this attitude. And Brother Barry's going to come in a moment. We're listening to this testimony of Miss Wigglesworth's granddaughter. And she said one time she went with her parents to Africa. This is Miss Wigglesworth's granddaughter. She was 4 years old. They got to a village where they were to preach. It was night time. And they said, her parents said, where can we stay? And they said, you can stay right in the centre of the village. And there's a shelter in the centre of the village. And they put them into the shelter in the centre of the village. And she said, they made things for the children to lie on and they put them down for the night. And a great storm come up. And there was lightning and thunder and rain and a real massive storm all night. And her mother got up and rebuked the winds and waves, and she quoted it where Jesus rebuked the winds and the waves, and she couldn't understand why the storm didn't cease. But the storm kept on going all night long. But the next morning, the chief of that village came to them, and he said, I want the God that you have, and I want my children under the protection of your God. And they said, what do you mean? He says, well, last night we put you in the lion's bed. Because every night the lions sleep in that place where we told you to sleep. And the lions didn't come last night because of the lightning and the thunder and the storm, and it kept the lions away. And the God that you serve, that saved your children, we want to receive that God. And we want him to save our children. Without ever preaching a sermon or anything, God did it. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. We've had enough preaching to last us a lifetime. But it's true what our brothers preached tonight. We need the power of God. We need what they're praying here in the book of Acts. And there's only one way to have it. Our brother said it today. I've been preaching it here. Even many of the things Brother Andrews preached tonight. How do you get the power of God? One way. The preaching of the gospel is the power of God. That's the power of God. How many's preaching the real gospel? The original gospel. Brother Branham preached it. Paul preached it. That's the real gospel. Signs and wonders follow it. When you preach the real thing, God backs it. And we have heard the gospel tonight. Our brother's preached the gospel. He's preached the real thing. Preach what I bid you. Amen? Remember what our brother Brian, one of the last sermons our brother Brian preached? Use what you have in your bag.
Yes.
Not some other man's bag. Use what's in your own bag. If God calls a man, God calls him to preach what he wants him to preach. Not what somebody else preached, but what he wants him to preach. Amen. And the original's always the best, isn't it? Praise God. Brother Gary's going to come. We're going to sing. If anyone feels they do want prayer while we're singing, you slip up on her. Brother Andrew's going to pray for you. And if not, just let's sing and worship the Lord as your brother comes. And the Lord bless each one that's come. Don't forget our services tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock sharp. It's at Children's Sunday School from 10:45. And then our evening service again at 6. And the Lord bless each one. God bless you, Brother Andrew. God bless you.
I'll be in the key of 10.